Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Indeed, I don't know about you, but as this year has started to unfold, all I can think about is my mansion, my robe, and a crown. And you know, in one day, we're going to stand before his judgment seat. And I don't know about you, I have planned to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord." Once again, it is good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray that as this year starts, church, we can become more excited about who we are. We are children of the Most High God. God has entrusted you and I with something very precious. And what he's trusted to you and I is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he has entrusted the body, the church, with the gospel, it behooves us to really look at what we're doing for the Lord. God has left you and I with a mission, with a goal, with a responsibility. And James would say in James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25, James would write these words to remind the believer that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from this world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? Well, I just stopped by this morning to tell you, in order for you to stay unspotted from the spotted world, you got to ask yourself, what really moves you on this time side of life? We're going to be looking at this text for I don't know how long. We stayed in the other one for over a year. Amen. And I plan to stay in this one for a while because Paul here writes these words to remind the believer. And I'm learning, before you become this, you got to understand who you are. For the past year, we spent time in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and around about verse number 20, where Paul talks about, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'm going to show you with this little lesson I put together that in order to understand your ambassadorship, you got to first be a prisoner. And I'm learning that a prisoner understands who has him imprisoned. Amen. And I'm going to show you from this text here that when you really understand who you are, then guess what? Life takes on a whole new meaning. Paul would say these words, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." Paul says, "I beg with you. I plead with you." Those of us who have obeyed from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, and have been added to the body of Christ, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1. Those of us who have went into this watery grave because we say we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we're willing to live our lives for you, Lord, and we'll do everything you command. Y'all awful quiet. You didn't read the fine print. Jesus died on a cross for me. And see, he died for you too, but I take it very personal. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 16 says, "For God so loved the world, he did what? Gave." He didn't give just anything. The Bible said he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John chapter 10 and verse number 10, Jesus says, "The thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And I'm learning, church, the abundant life that Jesus had to offer us is not so much a physical, but it's a spiritual life. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, I'm so thankful that the God of heaven could look down the court of time and see this old wretched sinner that needed to be saved and put a Bible in his hand. He said, "Now you go teach my people. They're not going to hear me." That's what Jeremiah said. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? He said, "I'm not going to even talk about him no more." But Jeremiah said, "I can't help myself. It's like a fire shut up in my bone. I can't help myself to tell you God has been good to me." Amen. 12 days into the new year, oh, and I'm still feeling good. I still got energy. That's right. Y'all don't? Well, you need to see me on some one-on-one. Some of y'all might need some counseling. Because when you serve the God of heaven, the Bible said that Moses was 120 years old when God called him out of service. His eyes was not dimmed, neither was his stamina diminish. 120 years, and I'm crying over 60. Lord have mercy. Something is wrong with that picture. Church, I'm learning that when you really trust God, when you really depend on God, God makes the difference in our everyday life. But I'm learning, you got to learn how to be still. And then you got to learn how to understand who's really in control. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, you'll find it. And then Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus has blessed us to see 2020. Now, if you exchanged your soul last year, you got a right to redeem it this year. How do I know that? Take a deep breath. As long as you got that in you, you have the right to redeem it. And I want to encourage the believers, the body of Christ here, let us get busy understanding what God requires of us. Yeah. The Bible says in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, Paul says, now I left you an example. Follow me as I follow Christ. But I'm learning in order to follow Jesus Christ, you got to be willing to give up some things. You know, we live in the most affluent country in the world. It's hard to give up some of our stuff. Stuff. And that's all it is. I tell you, you go around these garages, you'd have enough stuff to furnish the church for the next 10 years. I know what I'm talking about. I got a lot of stuff in my garage that people don't want to get rid of, but that ain't beside the point. Somewhere down the line, we understand who we are. And church, and I'm learning in order to move forward. There are some things you got to do. And first, in Philippians chapter 3, I ain't even got into my lesson. This is all preliminary to get you ready for this morning's message. I'm learning in order for you to move forward, you got to stop looking back. Jesus said, no man puts his hand to the plow and look back. It's fit for the kingdom of God. You ever wonder why in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following, that Paul never mentions a back plate? Why? Because the believer is constantly moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I use that same application when I play chess. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't play chess? I'm sorry. Because there's a strategy. The strategy is to move forward. He's not looking back. Why? Because if you look back, that's where you're going to be. Always looking back. So I'm learning in order to move forward. Philippians chapter 3 and round about verse number 13. Paul says, my brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I reach forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. If anything otherwise minded, God shall even reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained. Paul here says, you ought to act like you saved. Huh? I mean, y'all going to heaven. Somewhere down the line, you have confidence and boldness to know that when you stand before his judgment seat, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Church, and I want to encourage you as this year unfolds, I am looking forward to the meeting that we're going to have where we're going to talk about the unity of the Spirit. And see, and in order for you to understand the unity of the Spirit, you got to understand the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And 1 John said, they're one. They all agree as one. And Jesus said, I would that you have the same love and the same care for one another. All of us come from a different walk of life. Some are off on this side of the track, on that side of the track, and some on the track. But you know what? We can all be one because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us one. In our lesson text here, the Apostle Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you, I plead with you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse 36. The Bible says when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. And he told them to pray to the God of harvest that he send forth laborers. We need some laborers in 2020. I don't need lip service. Amen. We need servants that are willing to step up to the plate and make the difference in those lives. And I know you're probably doing this on your own, but collectively as the body of Christ, if God can take two men and turn the world upside down, what can we do with Apple Valley? Boy, we can change Apple Valley. But see, we all got to believe it. And then we all got to walk by the same rules. We all got to mind the same thing. What's good for the goose? Huh? You sure? There it is. And so what's good for the preacher? It's also good for you. I know I get you. See, I'm going to fish this morning as we look at this lesson. But Paul says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. And then this is how we need to walk. He says, with all humbleness or lowliness, with all meekness. And that word meekness there doesn't mean weakness. No, it means power under control. Church, you and I have everything we need. 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 3, according to his divine power has given unto us what? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Anybody in here got a problem? Don't raise your hand, because I know everybody got a problem on this time side of life. Money cannot solve everything, but Jesus Christ can solve everything. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and round about verse 5, humble yourself in the sight of God, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I'm learning that when you really cast your cares upon the Lord, he will take care of everything else. The wisest man on the face of the earth says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace. And I like the other one. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll give him the desires of his heart. Boy, I don't know who you serve. I serve an awesome God. And I'm learning that when I be still and surrender my will to his will, God takes care of everything else. And so Paul in this lesson text here says we need to walk worthy. That's right. Those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and been added to the body of Christ, God requires you to live up to what you said you would do. Could you imagine being on a war field and person say they're going to help you, and then when the stuff get tough, they turn their back on you? Huh? You wouldn't be with him long, would you? We're on a battlefield, church. And we need to work collectively if we're going to change the world in which we live in. And he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all loneliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. And that's a word there that we don't use. I'll only put up with you as long as you put up with me. Misuse me and zzz, that's the end of you. No, Paul says we got to put up with one another. But I'm learning in order to forbear one another, we got to humble ourselves first and foremost. When you humble yourself to God, it's not difficult to put up with anybody. I'm learning that. I'm learning that when you really do what God says to do, nothing in the world can stop you but you. And in the last verse, in verse 3, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The world may be in disarray, but we should never be. You know why? We all have the same Spirit. We've all obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. The question is, what Spirit do we allow to really take hold of us? Title of this lesson this morning, how's your walk? How's your walk this morning? You know, in this lesson text, Paul reminds the believer of how they should walk. He says you need to walk worthy of the calling. See, God called us when we went in this watery grave. He called us into service. And I want to encourage us as God's people, understand your calling. Understand that the world has nothing to offer, but Jesus offers eternal salvation to everyone that will obey him. In our lesson text, the Apostle Paul writes these words to encourage the body of Christ and to remind the body of Christ. In order for the unity of the Spirit to exist, everybody has to follow the same rules. What goes for the preacher goes all the way out that door. That's right. We got to all follow the same rule. So when it's time to assemble or do what God requires, that means every single one of us have a responsibility. But I'm learning, in order to understand that you are a prisoner of the Lord, you must first and foremost embrace who you are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you know what we are? A lump of dirt with a dress or a bow tie on. But thanks be to God, he's changed us to where we are children of the Most High God. See, I'm learning in order to embrace who we are and understand this prisoner of the Lord, we got to understand that we were called for a purpose. Paul says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled. See, I understand that I've been reconciled. Yes. Anybody in here was once a sinner?
Oh, yes.
Anybody in here sin?
Yes.
Yeah, you better say it. We've all fallen short, but God allows us to repent and get back on the right track. See, in order for us to really embrace being a prisoner of the Lord, we got to understand that we've been in prison for a purpose. And guess what? We all volunteered for the prison. Oh, you didn't know that? Well, I just stopped by to tell you that you volunteered to become a prisoner for the Lord. And in being a volunteer prisoner, whatever whatever the guards tell us to do, we're going to do. I want to encourage you as children of God that there are some things that we must learn to do in our everyday life. I'm learning the more you study, the more you meditate upon the Word of God, the more you're able to rise above many of the obstacles in our lives. See, church, we're faced with some trying times. And I believe we're faced with some trying times because some people don't really believe that God is who he say he is. Israel had the problem. Israel had the problem. They had the same problem that you and I got in 2020. Some believe and some believe not. Some wants a sign from God. And I don't know what other sign you need to look at the world, the mess that we're in. I don't know what other sign you need that I need God. And I want to encourage us as prisoners of the Lord, if there's ever been a time we need to see who we are. And for the next few minutes, I want to just show us as prisoners of the Lord. Yeah, I'm getting so used to doing stuff like this that it just motivates me to say that, man, God's good to me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, see me later and I'll give you some 101 to help you to see. A prisoner of the Lord, guess what he does? He prays without ceasing. Oh, yes. I'm learning that I can't control Sister Holman. Amen. Can't control no one else. The only person I can control is me. And I'm learning that in the process of things that don't go the way Stan wants them to go, I need to ask God for some help. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and round about verses 16 and 17, Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says these words, pray without ceasing. And I'm learning, church, the more you pray in the midst of your trials and tribulations, the more you are still, God will answer the prayers that you asked of him. Not only must we learn to pray without ceasing, we must learn to reverence God. I'm learning that I must give God the credit every single day of my life. And I need to learn how to thank him when I don't feel good, when I don't want to do what he says. I'm learning that I need to reverence him daily. Why? Because I know who he is. Let me show you something. Hebrews chapter 12 and round about verse number 28. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says about God. Verse 26 says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, ye once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which shaken cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we received a kingdom. I want you to get this. I'm just not in anything. I'm in the thing that takes me to heaven. I'm in the body of Christ, the church. He says, wherefore, we've received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. He's just not talking to the preacher. He's talking to every single one of us, which with reverence and godly fear. Why do I serve him? Verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. See, we don't like to talk about that. All we want to know is that we got a loving God. He's kind. No, the Hebrew writer said he is a consuming fire. And I'm learning, church, that when you reverence him in your everyday life, guess what? You'll get busy doing what he says. What will you be doing? You'll be instructing the believers. That's why it's so important that you come on Bible class. That's why it's so important that you study and meditate upon the Word of God. That's why I always give you questions and ask you certain things. Why? My job is to instruct you so you can make heaven your home. Why? Because he requires that of me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And round about verse number 12, Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word, in conversation, in purity. Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the laying on of hand of the eldership. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy lifestyle will be evident to those that you come in contact with. If I was to ask your neighbors what they think about you, what would they say? Huh? What would they say? Would they say that you're a child of the Most High God and you're an example? Or would they have something else to say? See, I'm learning that my job is to instruct the believers and to instruct one another on how to stay focused and on the right track. Not only must you learn how to pray without ceasing, you must reverence God every day. And then you must be and learn to instruct the believers. But you got to be diligent. Huh? Huh? How many of us would have a job if we weren't diligent? Expect you to be there on time, before time, and expect you to not bring your personal foolishness to work. Oh, huh? Huh? And some of y'all got positions to where you can't even begin to think about your problems. Why? Because you've taken on the care of. But you know what? As believers, we should never think about our personal problems. You think God saved you for you? Huh? God saved you for him. Right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All things exist by him, were made for him. God saved you for one purpose. And that's somebody out there that needs you. So I challenge you, as tomorrow comes among you, stop and think about somebody going to need you. Amen. Might need a kind word. Might need a dollar or two. Don't give them a dollar or two. Give them 20 or oh, I know that. Mm-mm. He gonna go get him to drink. Well, you don't know what he gonna do. When I become a mind reader, I'm gonna take down the shingle of preacher. I'm learning. You must serve him diligently. 2 Timothy chapter 2, round about verse number 24. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them acknowledging of the truth, and they may escape themselves out of the snares of the devil who have taken them captive by his will. Church, I'm learning that we are supposed to instruct folk and to help folk out of the situations they're in. That's why you always hear me. I cut all mine off so you wouldn't see my gray. But older saints, you got a responsibility. Older men, you're supposed to be teaching these younger men. Yes. Older women, you're supposed to be the example. Yes. And the example is not always look at how you look. No, the example is follow me like I follow Jesus Christ. Yes. That's why Paul would tell Titus to set in order these things that are wanting, that the older men teach the younger men to be sober, to be grave, to be temperate, and that the older women, likewise, to teach the younger women how to love their husband, how to be chaste, how to be discreet. See, church, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is that when I serve God, I serve him with diligence. Are we really the light of the world, or are we the mess that sit on the hill? See, and only you can answer that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following, Jesus says, you are the light of the world that sit on a hill that cannot be hid. And I'm learning, church, that when you serve him with diligence, you'll be obedient to the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm learning that in my service to God, I'm obedient to the gospel. And what is the gospel? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I can quote it, but I want to read that because it's important to understand. For those of you that are visiting, and then those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you obey from the heart the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul would say in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm learning that when you practice the gospel, you're going to teach men how to come out of darkness into a marvelous light. See, and I'm learning that that comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Not only must you hear the word of God, you must believe that this is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. "Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and believe and you might have eternal life." Then the Bible says you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3. "Confess that he's the Son of a living God." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And then he adds you to the body of Christ when you go into this watery grave. There's nothing in the water. God does a spiritual operation and he forgives you of all your sins. Boy, when I heard that some 30 years ago, I said, "Take me to the water." God gonna forgive me of all those people I mistreated and misused and talked about and, oh yes, that's why I can shout. I am free. Do y'all believe y'all free?
Amen.
Yeah, when you believe that you're free, you act like a free person. And so I'm learning. I'm obedient to the gospel call. So when it's time to do kingdom business, and when is it time to do kingdom business? Every single day. Why? Because he's called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. And when I live up to my calling, guess what? I ain't got time for Satan. I know we talked about that this morning. Play devil's advocate. I ain't got time for Satan. Why? Because Satan has a mission. And that mission is to stop you from doing the will of the Father. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 25 and following. Paul says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And church, and I'm learning the way you don't give place to the devil is don't play with him.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm learning when you don't give him an opportunity or when he comes your way, you need to be like Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. When Satan came to Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And I'm learning, in order for you to say it is written, you got to know what's written. That's why you got to study your Bible. You shouldn't be taking my word. You need to go home and investigate. Did the preacher say what he said is right or wrong? Why? Because I'm human just like you. And I need you to help me to stay on the right track. So don't give place to Satan and don't allow him to catch you up in the foolishness of this world. See, we live in a world where the world is dictating, in order for you to be successful, you got to have this, 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 and that. Church, I'm successful because I'm in Christ Jesus. Amen. I may have a pen and a nail in my pocket, but I'm richer than you. You know why? Because I have the right to eternal salvation. And church, that only comes when a man or a woman surrender his will to the will of the Father. Don't give place to the devil. And when you don't give place to the devil, guess what? You'll edify and you'll build up the body of Christ. That's my job. My job is to remind you, to encourage you, to help you to see that if you're going to make heaven your home, you got to do what God says. And I know we don't like to be, anybody here like to be corrected? I didn't think so. But that's my job. That's your job. The wise man Solomon said, "Iron sharpens iron." And when you're sharp, guess what? You keep me sharp. But when you dull and I'm sharp, I'm trying to sharpen you up. Why? Because that's our job, our responsibility. See, when you understand that each and every one of us, whether you preach the gospel or teach the gospel or you are talking about the gospel, it's your job to build up the body of Christ. So when you're missing in action, you hurt the body.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Why? Because we're members one of another. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That word perfect there means mature. You telling me we ain't got some mature people up in here? A perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sliding of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joints together and compacted about, that every joint supplieth according to the effectual work of the measure of every part, may increase of the body of Christ unto edifying itself in love. So when you're missing, guess what? You heard me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's important that we edify and build one another up. And when we edify and build one another up, I don't have to tell you to study your Bible. Why? Automatic. It requires a daily study of the Word of God. And I'm learning, church, the more you practice what the Bible teach, man, the more you're able to overcome many of the obstacles. That's why the psalmist would say, Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist said he meditates day and night. You know, there are some moments where my wife don't understand me. And there are some moments I don't understand her. That's when I learn to be still and see what God is trying to tell me, what he's trying to teach me. And I'm learning to control some things. I'm still having a hard time. Don't look at me funny. You know, when you preach the gospel, it's real easy to... I'm learning how to. And it's hard. It's hard because I'm used to, never mind, let me move on. It requires a daily study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. And Paul reminded Timothy, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And I'm learning, church, that when you surrender your will to the will of the Father, man, life takes on a whole new meaning. Conclusion, what type of prisoner are you? Are you a prisoner of the Lord or a prisoner of the world? In 1 John chapter 2, and round about verse 15 through 17, John would say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. I want to encourage you, as this year starts to unfold, ask yourself a question. What kind of prisoner am I? Am I really a prisoner for the Lord? Am I really the ambassador that God needs on this time side of life? And as a prisoner, do I really depend upon the one that has imprisoned me? Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Church, I'm ready for this year, and I hope and pray that God will allow us all to lay aside those things that hinder us and get busy doing the will of the Father. We live in some bad times. That's right. And some of the things that people are teaching and are doing ought not to ever, ever, ever come from us. And if the world needs an example, look at your neighbor. Look at your, come on, y'all, work. Y'all wake up now, I'm finished. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm the example the world needs to see. But don't say that now if you don't believe it. Amen. And somewhere down the line, we will make the difference if we stay rooted and grounded in the truth. If you're here this morning and you've fallen short of the glory of God, I want to encourage you to repent and get on the right track. If you're visiting and haven't obeyed and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to come as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.